watch me while I sleep. Don't require your belief. Offering silence but no relief. Can you scream without a sound? Like the freeze that's coming down. Barren space where nothing grows. A secret place where no one goes.
Chaos Springs Eternal is a Delta Green actual play. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes, disturbing imagery, and horrors beyond our comprehension. Now, if you wouldn't mind comprehending some horrors with us, I think you'll have a good time. Hey everyone, jumping in here at the top, just a little extra trigger warning for this week for loss of a child and vehicular accidents. I guess without getting too spoilery, I think that covers what I'd want to say for that. So try not to, you know, I just try to give you a heads up in case there's more like specific ones that happen in addition to just the general horrors that we deal with. But hope you otherwise enjoy it, this one.
Hello, and welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal presents Season 1, City of... Whoa!
What? Wait, I already did that bit.
Yeah, I believe you did that actually.
Literally last time.
Exactly the last time.
God damn it.
So, great job on that.
You need to snap up your game on the woes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just use marks. Just use marks.
Cut that one out, please.
No, I'm not getting into weird woes.
Stop.
You know, we've often said City of Woe, and maybe I haven't made it clear that Care 4 is the City of Woe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're in the City of Woe right now.
You, the listener, are in Care 4.
Right.
We'll meet you at the crossroads so you won't be lonely.
Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's the first of the month. Sorry, are we just... Oop, we've switched over to our Bone Thugs and Harmony podcast. Yep.
This is just a YouTube bit.
Who's your favorite Bone Thug?
Busy Bone, obviously.
Probably, clearly. He's the best.
What is going on? Listener, please help. I don't know what's going on.
I was about to ask, Noah, do you know who they're talking about?
What? Hello and welcome back to City of Bone.
No.
Boom, 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 boom. What you gonna do?
Have you ever seen the videos that are attempts to understand what those lyrics are?
And like hippopotamus, something like
that. Yes. Yeah. Get a hippopotamus to everybody. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Our young castmates are not into this.
Check out our Mark and my Patreon for the monthly.
You son of a bitch. I can't believe you've done this.
I can.
Mark and I's monthly Patreon, The Bone Zone, $15 a month will get you access to 3 episodes a month. We're hoping to interview Busy Bone next month, unless he's dead.
I don't know. Google this.
I have not kept track of the members of Bone Thugs and Harmony, but if you told me that the majority of them were dead, I would kind of not be surprised.
No, he's still alive. He's 47.
Okay. All right. Oh, good. Good. That's. I hope he lives a long, happy life.
So we'll have him on next week.
If his agent ever gets back to us. But speaking of agents getting back to you, last time y'all met with a new person, kind of a callback to our old campaign, Bill Blank, who runs Phenomen X, an online paranormal UFO forum. And he wanted to interview you and ask some questions, including getting some information about who had touched a ghost, been touched by a ghost, wanting to do some analysis for his personal theories and collections. You allowed him to run a little analysis on the trapped ghost organite pyramid, which we'll have to give a name to that. I think that is unique enough that should get its own sort of special name. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but
Howard.
So he ran some tests on Howard, but it blew up most of his equipment and a little bit of his computer. Luckily, he was headed home anyway, so not like you have to deal with the fallout of that. But you know he exists in this world now, in case you ever want to get in touch with him. Just a little, you know, seed planted there. Y'all also received a call from Chelsea Wynn, who mentioned that she had a patient who was experiencing some nightmares related to ghosts and monsters and possessions and all sorts of things like that. And after, obviously, her regular therapy appeared to not be making an impact, she decided to ask Marcy if Marcy would come check it out. Did I miss anything?
Just what, can we tell him what, what's his face did in our previous campaign?
Sure. Yes.
Didn't he invent some sort of new Dewey Decimal System?
Yep.
He did. Yes. He was dissatisfied with the current library catalog system. And so he invented his own new one.
Mm-hmm.
And he was properly bullied as he deserved.
Yes. Anyone who does things that are different from what you do should be bullied.
Right.
That is the message that we
know. Anyone who does things that are frivolous,
right,
and different from what I do should be bullied.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're hyper intelligent.
Yes.
Yes.
Which, you know, he might be, or he might be lucky. You never know these sorts of things. But I wanted to. So it's getting towards late on this now Saturday night. This morning you got shot at, you know, got pulled over by a police officer on your way back, ran through some tapes. I can't remember if that was last episode or the one before. Got a little bit of information about Antoine, a little bit more information about the Leather Top LLC and ideas and connections. But again, we're once again at the point in the Delta Green investigation where it is your turn to let me know what you want to do.
I would sort of like to follow up on a lead that I had super early in the campaign.
Oh boy.
If that's possible.
Yeah, it's totally possible.
I would like to go talk to my uncle.
Oh, he died. Yeah, sorry. No, yeah.
Damn.
You want to talk to your uncle Benjamin Caitani? You're going to call him right now? It's, let's say it's, you know, 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I'll give him a call. I'll call him up.
All right. What does Benjamin Caitani sound like? All right. You ring him up, and after a few rings on the phone, you hear him pick up and says, well, hey, Cyril, what's going on?
Uncle Ben, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing okay. It's a little bit late. Didn't your mom teach you not to call after 9?
She certainly did. But you know my mother, she's crazy sometimes. She breaks the rules when it suits her, right?
I guess that's true. Can't deny that. She and I did get into a little bit of trouble back in the day.
Mm-hmm. I heard some of them stories.
Well, what can I do for you?
I had a question for you. I don't know if you know all the details about what we're doing for the mayor. We investigated his house. You may have seen us on the television.
Yes, I had heard about this use.
Yeah, I just had a quick question. The other day, I was talking with the mayor, and he said that you and him had a meeting. Is that true?
Yes, I invited him to dinner.
Yeah, what became of that meeting, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, well, we had dinner. That's what you're asking. He was there.
What was the purpose? Can you tell me the purpose of the meeting? He's been real cagey with us about some stuff, and if I could get some insights, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, it's a little bit of a touchy subject, but in my judgely duties, I occasionally asked to consult on various matters of the law,
mm-hmm.
And I had someone come by my office with a few questions, and when I say questions, they were questions that were the robe that an accusation was wearing, if you catch my drift.
I do.
Relative to some potential strange dealings with the Babineaux, specifically with Antoine, some of the things that he had allegedly been hooked into, tied into, associated with. I'll be honest, when it comes to the various details of all the accounting and finances, it doesn't strike me, but when someone comes by with the attitude that they do, it's you pay attention and you try to just give people a heads up. And I'm not acquainted with Anquan so much. I've attended a dinner or two with him in my day, but I know Thaddeus much better, so
So somebody was planning on making accusations against the Babineaux? Is that what I'm understanding?
They were potentially going to bring something to light, potentially to court as well.
Hmm. That seemed, Thaddeus had been making us run all over the place, and he has still yet to give us anything too concrete. And he's worried about outside entities, and he's worried about people buying the Florzon Manor. He's worried about all sorts of things. So I was just hoping you would have a little bit. I mean, is there anything else you can tell me in terms of these allegations?
All I can tell you is that it appeared that Antoine may have been in significant debt, and as a result was funneling some funds from other family trusts under the guise of establishing various businesses. And look, this is all not very public information. And
sure. I'd
ask you to keep this pretty down low.
Yeah, I'll keep this discreet between just you and me. I just need to know because it certainly feels like Thaddeus is trying to play us for a loop here. And I'm just wondering why he's circling out.
I don't think he's trying to keep you on the outside, except for it's still family. He may have not discussed. I wouldn't expect him to report to you the results of our dinner. I don't think that's much his business, but I feel okay reporting to you, given you have had some business dealings, and it may impact you financially if the mayor intends to remunerate you for your services.
Well, there he does. He still owes us money.
Well, yes, I would suggest getting in line sooner rather than later if things don't get smoothed out.
Do you got a name for this entity that's doing stuff to the mayor?
Oh, hang on. And he goes through you hear some drawers moving around. It's like, I think he gave me a card just to call him. His name was Alan Curtis. He's a lawyer out of New Orleans.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time, Uncle Ben. It definitely helps us. We'll have to move ourselves up in the Babineaux line in order to get paid for all this, but I appreciate you letting me know.
Yes, of course. Again, your discretion is appreciated.
Of course.
I will know if this gets back to me. I will know which path it came through.
Oh, I'm well aware of that. Don't you worry about it. I'll send you over a nice bottle of scotch for your trouble tonight.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Good night, Uncle. I appreciate it. Cyril hangs up.
All right. Well, that mystery is solved. That little thread got tied, huh?
Yep.
Don't know what you were expecting from that.
Well, there's a lawyer in New Orleans, so that's something to maybe... It proves that there's pressure on the Babineaux to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now we've been doing a little bit of trusting them on faith for a lot of their shenanigans.
Yes. But, you know, they're good people. Or are they?
They're clearly not. No. They're clearly terrible people.
Resoundingly no.
Really bad.
Well, okay, you don't have any evidence that Thaddeus is doing anything bad.
That's true, but historically, the Babineaux have not been great, right?
He's a mayor.
Wow.
AMAB.
He is holding office. He is a politician. There are no good politicians.
No, he's right. I was on one side. He's being reeled me in.
Anything you want to do with that information right now, or what do you guys? Are we good wrapping up our Saturday night?
I think the only thing Joel wanted to do with the rest of his Saturday night is it was going to be his turn to kind of sit at Florizon and keep an eye on it.
Okay,
so he'd go there. He would also text Kian, be like, "Hey, I'm staying over at someone's place today." Also, just as a heads up, cop told us that there's been some people acting a little weird lately with all the tourists. So just keep an eye out on anything strange going on outside. And he will drive on out to Florizon. And when he gets there,
you get a text back from Kian almost immediately that it's a thumbs up. And then he says, "Didn't see you all day, but cool. See you tomorrow?" Question mark.
Eventually, yes.
He texts back. He says, "I left one brown sugar pop tart for you.
You can have it, buddy."
He says, "I'm full."
Save it for tomorrow, then. Jesus Christ.
You get a thumbs up in response to that.
Fuck's sake, damn.
He's just like, this man is cooked.
I'm sorry. I love Kian so much. It just makes me so happy.
It's really fun
to have, like, he's not like a bad roommate, but he is the worst.
Yeah, like, he doesn't do anything like aggressive. He's just the most belligerent to his stupidity I've ever experienced.
Yes. All right. Anything from Marcy or the other guy, Cyril?
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
I guess I'll just see myself out.
Yeah. All right. Clementine heads back to the Daily Gator.
Oh, sorry. I actually do have one more question.
Okay.
You mentioned in the last episode that she touched the thing and she went through her reading went through the roof.
Yes.
Was that something that we noticed as well, or was that just like a only she kind of caught it?
I think that y'all would have noticed, because the idea is that as Bill Blank was packing up, he didn't notice her testing herself on that.
Okay. Joel will put a pin in that conversation then, because I totally forgot she was here as well still.
She goes back to the Daily Gator. She's like, I've got to finish things before headlines run tomorrow, and y'all have a good night.
Good night, Clem. Just be safe out there.
Of course. So let's jump to Florizon Manor. Do you want to be parked outside again? You going to go say hi to Glomus? What are you going to do?
Yeah, Joel will get his car as far around back as he can. Obviously, being a lowered rear-wheel drive street vehicle, he's not getting very far with it, but just enough that it's not as noticeable from the front as if he were just in the driveway.
Right.
And he'll go inside. He'll knock on the front door and be like, hey, Glom, buddy, coming in. If you can be not dog man for me, please. And he kind of sits there, like, nervously thumbing the pages of the book that Luna gave him.
Yeah, as you walk in, you feel this weird, like, wave of fatigue hit you, and you get a little bit disoriented, but after a moment or two, it sort of washes past you, and you can head in. You hear some movement from downstairs.
He'll rub his temples, and he'll just come on down.
Downstairs, in the basement, you see Glomus, who has not actually heard you request him to not be in his ghoul form, so he's bent over. There's a big circle with various piles of salt, some minerals, some various dust, maybe some ashes and some candles, and then he is beginning to write along the outside edge of the circle. I guess it's the inside of the large edge, but there are a couple inside circles, various, you know, shapes and diagrams that he's sketched out, and it looks like he's putting in some detail work right now. And then as you step down, he turns and says,
Oh, hello. How are you, Joel?
Sorry, doing pretty good. And, like, he's kind of looking away from him as best he can. Yeah, I'm doing fine, just coming to make sure you're good and, you know, just helping keep an eye out like Cyril did last night.
Yes, I'm doing fine, and I appreciate you coming to check on me. I'm sorry, give me one moment.
He notices you turning away, and then as you see, he begins shifting and forming, and there's various pops and squeaks and squeals. He steps into the side where the sort of billiards tables are, and you see him step back out after a minute. He is looks like kind of an older bald guy. He's put on a quick like V-neck shirt and, you know, khaki pants and with a jacket over it. And he says, apologies for not anticipating the form that you would like to see me in. I understand, you know, the ghoul form's a little strange, but what can you do?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you being accommodating. I'm still not quite used to it. Well, listen, you got me for at least a couple hours. If you need help with anything, just let me know. Otherwise, I'm just going to sit in the corner and he'll, you know, kind of wave the book in one hand. Going to do a little light reading.
He says, if you don't mind me asking, what book is that?
It's a book Luna gave me. You're familiar with Luna, I assume?
Yep. Yeah, I know her fairly well. Again, it's kind of weird though. It's all these one-sided relationships, but yeah, I know her.
Yeah, yeah. She's sending me in the right direction for magic? Yeah, magic.
Hmm. Well, if it's got anything on building protective wards. I'm pretty well studied, but you can always use a little more input. You never know.
I mean, yeah, I can take a look. Listen, Glomus, I'm new to it, but she had me do some kind of exercise. She had me stare into a ball, and I meditated on it, basically did the same thing I do when I'm trying to clear my mind. And in it, I saw Ivy.
Oh, interesting. You were able to scry your first try?
That's what she said, too. Yeah. I don't know how I did it. Don't fully understand what it is either. Caveat, I've seen weird black masses, like I mentioned with Pastor Gidry.
Yes. I'm sorry, I haven't had time to look into that more. You mentioned it was a blackening of the eyes.
Yes, it's happening more than just with him. I've seen it, I think, 3 or 4 times now.
Yeah, well, that's very interesting. He stands up. He's kind of been crouched over writing. He stands up and dusts his hand off. He's got like some chalk on it. And he says, "That's interesting. If you've seen it with multiple people, either there's some sort of infection in the town that's a handful of people have, or not. It could be something that it's internal and it is being projected onto your perception of reality. So either way, that's quite troubling."
I think it might be the second one. I've seen the opposite in Luna.
No, that doesn't surprise me. She is quite talented in some respects.
I brought it up to her. She didn't seem like she knew what I was talking about at all. It seemed like it was something only for me.
Yes. You might... Given that you were able to scry on your first time, you might have certain sensitivities to various metaphysical realities beyond and above what even... an experienced practitioner of magic and the occult might have. It'd be interesting. If it's something in you, I'm a little curious if this is recent or is this something you've experienced before?
I can't remember seeing anything crazy like this before. At least not before I interacted with the two spirits that were here. I don't know.
Well, it could have Marcy or Cyril reported any of this?
No, but only Clementine and I ever touched it, either of them.
And has Clementine reported this?
No, but that was another thing I wanted to ask you while I was here. If you don't mind me picking your brain for a second.
Sure.
We met quite a character today. He's a investigator, paranormal investigator is the best way to put it, but he's a fucking whack job, and I hate that he's right in some of his... findings. He brought out a device that measured how grounded we are with the fourth dimensional beings and the wibbly wobbly timey wimey rug bullshit. Anyways, I don't know. I touched it. I measured a pretty sizable mark. When he was putting it away, Clementine touched it and the machine damn near broke.
So Clementine is not grounded in this reality.
I hate that you're just like, yeah, that's correct to this man. But yeah, I guess that is correct. I guess he is right. I'm less grounded. She is very not grounded. And then Cyril and Marcy are mostly grounded.
If I recall correctly, when you had placed this was when I was not able to access this, but you've regaled me with the tales of what happened, where you drew the salt circle around her and then she disappeared.
Yeah.
You said that you found her in a trunk of some sort. Is that right?
Yeah, it took us somewhere else. Some pitch black void. Saw a map, circles within circles. Kind of similar to what you're doing, but not.
Yes. Yes, well, I believe that's where the original seal was on this house. And so, of course, it would be similar. You might imagine a protective ward and a seal to keep... Something to keep something out and something to keep something in are actually the same thing, if you think about it.
I think I'm following.
But I'm more concerned about her transport to this place, because while you all touched a physical object and were brought there, she was brought there of some sort of... Well, the description makes me think that it was some sort of not back door, but perhaps emergency protection built into the spell itself, that anyone attempting to bypass some of the securities would be caught into this other place.
Like a trap door almost.
Yes, yes, something like a trap door. Hey, I'm afraid I'd need to study some more. I have several various theories about what that might be, but if Clementine is ungrounded in this reality, it perhaps means that there's a part of her that is attuned to that other place.
You lost me.
When she was transported there, she wasn't transported only physically, but also psychically, mentally. Her identity became of a new place.
Okay.
The transportation was not simply a movement in body, but it was a different medium. You've seen demonstrations of lasers being pointed into water and oil and how they bend.
I think in physics class a long time ago, yeah?
Yes, well, the body in this earth medium travels at a certain rate and exists, respirates, etc., etc., but in some other places, the body may not experience those same things, and I don't know. It's possible that your sister is somewhat alien to this world now.
So you're saying not only was she physically sent somewhere, but her belongings sent somewhere too?
Yes, a spiritual connection, identity or attachment.
Forced immigration.
Yes, of some sort.
Okay. Well, that's not good.
Yeah, in fact, when you hear that, I am going to have you make a sanity roll.
All right. that's quite fair. All right. Sanity roll.
Okay, success. So just one sanity hit for you.
All right, just chipping away.
Yep. Yeah, any other questions or things you want to get, or you want to get into the book?
I guess, and I'm not asking for it today. Obviously, you're a very busy person.
He shrugs.
We'll say person. I guess just finding, if you could help me try and figure out a way to talk with her about it, just try and ease both of our concerns, I'd be grateful for it.
Well, I don't mean to alarm you, but you may have to travel back there and essentially reverse the whole function.
Reverse the whole function. Reverse the unbinding? Reverse the salt circle?
Yes, you'd need to... Well, I don't know. I'll be honest. That's might be a little bit out of my wheelhouse. I might have something that I could rustle up, but I suspect it would be easiest to take that same sort of backdoor emergency escape route and essentially reverse the polarity on it from that place to this.
Okay. I think I get what you're saying. That sounds difficult.
Probably extremely, yes.
Good. Then tell you what. I will start finding a solution, starting with, and he'll tap the book on the counter of the wet bar with this, and I'll let you know if I find something. If you find something, you let me know. How's that sound?
That sounds fair enough. I
awesome.
Look forward to it. And he settles back into the circle, continuing his writing along the edge, and you pick up your copy of Voyages in the Astral Plane, pulling the first introduction, which is again, this is sort of written almost like a travelogue type of thing. It is divided up topically, but as you begin to read, it's a lot of like, well, this one time when I was traveling in the astral plane, you know, I did this and that, and it's divided up into various chapters, including like how you access the astral plane, different areas within it, entities that you might see or interact with, things to avoid, like basically dangers that you might run into, various artifacts that you could find, the physical impact as well as the psychic impact on people, and then ways to return and deal with after effects of prolonged exposure.
That's all in the first chapter?
No. These are the various chapters. Sorry.
Okay.
I think, 7 chapters total.
All right. Well, Joel looks at that and goes, "What the fuck did you get yourself into, LaFont?" And he'll lick his finger and turn the page to chapter 1, and he'll kind of chuckle and say, "Probably is at the beginning for a reason." And we'll begin settling in. He'll find a little nook in one of the, looks like there's, why am I thinking of benches? Not benches, booths.
Yes.
Lay down across one, with his head kind of closer to the wall, and he will begin reading until he inevitably, within the next 2 to 3 hours, falls asleep reading.
All right. Anything else that Marcy or Cyril want to do when they get home, or we move into Sunday?
Sunday. Unless Marcy has something.
No, I don't think... I think Marcy got everything she wanted to do.
Cool.
Done during her private scene.
So, Sunday morning rolls around. Joel wakes up. Glomus waves at him. Says, thanks for spending the night. I think we're good for most of the day. I haven't noticed. I mean, there's been no one coming over here. I think the location is fairly well hidden, and I definitely wasn't snuggling you at any point during the night.
As long as I was Big Spoon, that's all I care about.
He says, "Sure." Wink.
He'll chuckle, wipe the sleep out of his eye, look at the time. What time did we say we were going to try and meet to go talk to the kid?
I don't think you did specifically, but we can always retcon that or have an early morning text.
Yeah, we didn't set a time.
Cool. Yeah, he'll just group send it. It's like, so when are we going to meet the kid with the nightmares?
Cyril will text back whenever y'all want. What day is it?
It's Sunday.
Oh, okay.
The Lord's Day.
Yeah, wait, is Cyril going to church?
Yep. I am going to the early meeting, and I have a photo shoot this afternoon.
Excellent. The sermon this morning from Pastor Guidry is just a little psalm reading about forgiveness and inner peace.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all want to meet for, like, brunch?
Works for me. I just need to get home and take a shower and change some clothes, but then I'm free all day, more or less.
Marcy gives a thumbs-up emoji.
All right, well, let's forward to brunch. Are we meeting at
the huge
regular-sized Eddie's Diner?
Where else would we go?
Well, you could always go to...
Is there a brunch spot? Is there a new... Can we make a brunch spot?
Yeah, we can make a brunch spot. What do you want the brunch spot to be?
There's got to be a lot of excess sugar that the Care 4 candy company doesn't use, right?
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There's got to be some distillery around here that buys it off of them and then makes like spiced rum, and they have like a brunch spot connected to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
What could that be? That would be a good brewery. It's a good brewery name. Something like the Wise Swamp Brewery.
All right. The Wise Swamp Brewery it is.
All right.
WSB time, baby.
The Tipsy Tart.
So at the White Swamp Brewery, they're having their Sunday morning brunch, or Sunday, you know, late morning brunch, featuring a lot of crepes and...
Oh, this is a creperie?
Yes, they've got creperie, obviously, with the Cajun, you know, the French. They lean into the French a little bit, so they have, you know, very nice crepes, as well as good, like, French-style omelets. French toast.
And you can smoke inside.
Perfect.
Technically, it's still like outside because of how, you know, it's like, it's not technically enclosed. They just have like windows at the top that they can vent out from.
Right.
Good old window loophole.
And all the waiters are mimes.
No.
God damn it. No.
Yes. All the waiters do speak with bad French accents, though.
Excellent.
What can we get you today? Monsieur's?
You get a free baguette with every cup of coffee.
I am lit tired. All right. So you're at the brunch spot. You order your brunch. What are you making a game plan for this investigation? What are you doing?
I think we have to. I think that's kind of the big important thing here.
So we're gonna go investigate this child that's got issues. I mean, Miss Wynn got back on the job very fast.
Listen, I just think like we could just make a quick visit, put the kids' fears at ease, and then if it does come out that one of us gets a weird feeling in the back of our neck that's like something's fucky here, we do a proper investigation on it as like, well, the entire time faking like, yeah, no, we're just doing this to put the kids' mind at ease. And then while we're wiping sweat from our brow, wondering that if some demon's going to jump down at us and slice our throats open. Hopefully it's just column A, where we're just able to make a little kid feel better for a hot minute. Because like, if it is something bad, then we need to be on top of it, you know?
When it is inevitably column B, though, we
run. With the family, we run. Yeah.
We push the family behind us and we run.
We'll save the kid. We'll try to save the kid.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, let's after our breakfast here, let's go over there then.
Yeah.
I got a photo shoot this afternoon, so I'm unavailable about 3 o'clock on, so.
Mm-hmm.
Remind me, the kid's like what, a teenager?
He's 14.
Yeah, she said he was like real young.
He's 14.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Fucking, I can't even get rid of freshmen in my fucking podcast.
So with that in mind, Joel is absolutely of the mind that he's not like faking it or anything like this. He's that 14 is old enough where he doesn't probably believe in like the spooky bumps in the night. So Joel is cautious, or going to be cautious at the very least.
All right. Yeah, we should all be cautious. I wish I had more organite.
I'm sure there's enough room. The first one was a little kid, right? I mean, we can fit a little kid into whatever else is coming at us in that thing.
Interesting.
Cyril, no, don't do that.
Just have a full-on ghost party in there? I wonder how much that matrix can hold. I have to talk to Luna.
I'm going to say, I don't think we should cram too many ghosts in there. I mean, we've all seen Ghostbusters, right?
A couple times, yeah.
Okay, yeah, like don't overfill the box.
They were fine. I mean, it was only that dickless son of a bitch that made them get rid of it.
Yes, but I mean, like, everything has a capacity that overfills at some point. We should just... I wonder if Galomas has a thing for that. Like, can we seal things inside of the... I don't know. I'm going away from the point.
Let's head on over.
Let's get what we need and get over to that house.
We're recording it, right?
We'll make a showing like we are at first, but then we might actually... Yeah, let's act like we are and go through the process. Just in case something is fucky, we can do something and have some note of it.
Joel gives the eye to Cyril. The we're recording this eye.
Oh, yeah, no. And he winks back at you.
Perfect.
If something fucky happens, let's go.
Ta-da-da-da-da.
All right, you head over to the Smiths. You got the name and address. This is Neil Smith, and knocking on his door with all of your equipment. His dad opens and says, "Oh well, hey guys, hey Phantom Finders. Glad that we get to meet you now that you're all famous. But of course, wish this was different circumstances."
Well, I'm sure it is. Let's just chalk it up to you guys are getting a free investigation.
Oh, you normally charge for these?
No, but...
Oh, okay. I didn't know how it worked. But yeah, so, I mean...
Marcy just looks at Joel like, we literally got paid for the last one.
Yeah.
But we could start a new thing that, like, yeah, we get paid for this.
You're getting a last free one is what it amounts to.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Thank you all. And you know, I could always... I work at the candy factory, so I could always cook you guys up with a little discount or something. I don't know. I've got a couple. I mean, I mostly work in, you know, web admin stuff. Marcy, I know you've got some experience with that, but I've got a few product ideas that might tie into y'all. That's not important. That's not important. Listen, I don't know how much Dr. Wynn told you, but Neil's been, I mean, he's been going to therapy for a few years now. Just, he's had kind of a rough go of it. But just over the past, like, I don't know, weekish almost, he He hasn't been sleeping. He's been running around the house at night, just screaming and yelling, just going crazy. I thought he might hurt himself, but and so we took him into Dr. Nguyen, and she was like, "Look, we might have to get him sent to, you know, someplace where he can't hurt himself." And I just don't know that that's like, I'm if we have to go there, we have to go there. But part of me thinks that if we just show Neil that we're taking this seriously, maybe this will have an impact on him. You know what I mean?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's not too much to ask and, you know, to pry, why has he been like, what's happened to the kid the last couple of years? He said he's had a rough go of it.
Yeah. So, 3 years ago, he was in a car accident, with his older brother who died in the car accident. And, he's just had a hard time since that. I mean, obviously we've all had a hard time losing a child, obviously, is tough. So, but you know, that's why we have been therapy.
Yeah. How has he been presenting? Have you noticed anything crazy? Like, he's doing weird stuff? Just anything exceedingly unusual?
It's just at night he doesn't sleep, or if he's sleeping, he's, you know, sleepwalking or sleep running more likely. It's like he's sprinting around. He knocks things over, and you know, it just, I don't know, it wakes me and my wife up, and we try and like get him in his room. We, you know, lock him, mm-hmm, from the inside, and mm-hmm, I know that's a fire hazard, but it's just for everyone's peace. Sure, but sure. He gets past it.
What was his brother like?
Brother was a great kid. Normal, you know, 17-year-old at the time. The high school, played basketball. He had a lot of interests. He played video games. He had been driving for a couple of years now. Nothing. He was just a good all around kid. Mm-hmm. And I know, obviously, as a parent who lost a child, you know, that's what maybe you expect me to say, but no, he really was.
And he treated Neil good?
Yeah. Yeah, he's always been great. They had a great relationship. I mean, it really impacted him when it happened. He felt like, you know, for a while, he really blamed himself, even though he was just a passenger, and guy who hit him was a drunk driver.
Has he been muttering or saying anything during these nocturnal ramblings or movements or whatever you're calling them? Ambulations?
I mean, yeah, he makes noise. It's not like I've heard him talking. Not at least we don't try and communicate with him, right? What would be the point if he's, you know, sleep whatevering?
Well, I think that'd be the perfect time to communicate with him. But we'll figure it out. We'll take a look at your boy here.
It's hard. I don't know if I'm explaining this right. It's hard to have a conversation when he's running around the house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Has there been patterns that you've noticed on where he runs, or
just not specific? I mean, he ran out of his room, around the house, through the kitchen, up the stairs, down the stairs.
So he doesn't follow the same path, if you will, every time.
I mean, I haven't really tracked it, but
fair.
No, not from what I can tell.
Okay.
All right. Where is the entity now? Oh, I mean, your son. Where is your son?
That's so fucking rude.
he does a little double take. He's like, he's in his room. He's, I think he's, you know, reading a book or maybe watching TV.
Any other questions, my companions?
When did this start?
He said just under a week ago.
Was there any build up to any of this, or just?
No, it just, he's always, you know, he's slept well. He's been in his own room. Everything's been fine up until, you know, last Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
refresh my timeline. What were we doing last Friday?
Fighting a ghost.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you were in the house last Friday night.
Yep. That's what I expected.
You trapped the ghost. You trapped the ghost. It can't be the same.
No, it can't be the same ghost. But I don't know if you've known this, Dan. More than one person's died in the history of this planet.
What? I guess that's true.
I can name at least two.
Yeah.
No.
So I don't think Joel has any other questions. I think all the questions he has is going to be directed at Neil.
All right. You can head into the house and turn the corner down the hallway. He points you to Neil's room. The door is currently shut. But if you knock on it, he says, come on in.
Joel will open the door. Hey, Neil?
Hi. Hey. Yeah, it's me. how are you? How are you guys?
We'll be doing better after we help you out, buddy.
Okay. Yeah. My Dr. Nguyen says that you guys might have a way to figure out what's going on with me.
We think we can at least help. I know that me and my friends here have a couple of questions. Are you okay if we record them?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to be on TV.
That's the spirit, champ.
What does this kid look like?
Oh, this kid, he looks like a 14-year-old kid for sure. He's got a little bowl cut action going. Ooh. But I mean, it's not horrible. He's wearing a
Rooster.
He's wearing what looks like a rugby shirt, but instead of having like a collar, it's got sort of like instead of having like a polo style collar, it's just got like a regular shirt collar, but still sort of like a Henley looking top and basketball shorts. He's not wearing shoes right now. He's propped up on his bed, which is one of those kind of tall metal frames with a lot of storage under it. And it's got various like books and looks like maybe a school bag and a handful of other like shoes and things kept under there. His room's, you know, fairly well lit. He's got a big window. He's got a little TV. He's got what looks like a video game system. And he's, yeah, sitting up on his bed and he's got his legs kind of crossed. Looks like maybe he was playing something and has set the controller down by him. So, what questions would you want to ask me? Do you got any like tests to run on me? You got any like, I figured like a ghost meter? Was that something you do? A ghost meter?
We don't exactly have a device that detects ghosts specifically, but we do have devices that can help us determine if it is a ghost or something more explainable.
Oh, okay. All right.
But first, we want to ask you some questions and figure out what's been happening with you and see if we can narrow down what to look for and how we should look for.
Okay.
Cyril will be setting up a tripod with a camera kind of fixed on him so we can record his responses.
Okay.
I guess our first question is, this started about a week ago, right?
Yeah, Friday I got home from school and I had dinner. I played some video games and then when I went to bed, I apparently got up out of my bed and ran around the house like crazy.
Do you not remember that you doing that?
No, I mean, once it happened, I mean, I'm kind of aware. It's like a dream, though. And it doesn't feel like I have total control over my body.
What do you remember from these moments?
I don't remember much. I just sort of wake up with my parents yelling at me.
Did you eat or drink anything a little out of the ordinary those nights? Or see any weird movies? Or was it just that just out of nowhere?
Normal Friday night dinner. We didn't even have pizza this night. We had chicken and potatoes. And I played video games.
Have you seen anything, whether before, after, or even during these episodes?
I kind of have vague memories of what happened. I remember being scared, incredibly scared. It's like the scariest thing possible, but I don't remember what it was that I was scared of or why I was scared. That's why I was hoping that you guys could help me. I don't know, maybe a ghost or a monster or maybe something's possessing me?
Hmm.
We can take a look at that. Marcy, can you do a quick EMF sweep of the room real fast?
Yeah, sure. And she'll get a device to do that and quickly go around the room and try to, like, even if it picks up nothing, she'll try to react as if, like, it's not picking up anything. Just try to put the kid at ease. But, like, if it picks up something, she'll look to Joel like, oh, but what happens?
As you swing the EMF reader around, it obviously, like, spikes a little bit when you're near the TV. And then when it's near him, it does spike, just like, you know, noticeably, significantly. I don't know if you hold it there, if you're just waving it.
Well, that's odd.
What's odd? What?
How often do you play in front of the TV? How close do you play in front of the TV?
A normal amount. It's right here on my bed's where I normally play. I can't be much closer. It'll hurt my eyes. That's what my parents say.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should play a little bit further away from the TV for a bit, just in case. I mean, do you have a wireless controller? I mean,
he points at the controller next to him on the bed. You think that this is why this is happening? I've had this for like a year and a half now.
No, I just meant like the readings I got, maybe. That's all.
Oh, okay.
But she doesn't wave it over him too much, just in case. Trying to put the kid at ease.
Neil, I got a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
So when you're having these episodes and you're running around the house, you don't remember much, but are you being chased by anything?
No, like I said, I was trying to remember. Dr. Wynn tried to do a little hypnosis, but it didn't seem to work.
Interesting. Okay. How familiar are you with our show?
I've seen some episodes. I'm not a fan. You know, the PHAN, the super fans, but I enjoy it.
Okay. So you know what a spirit box is that we've used then, right?
Oh, yeah. I've seen that thing.
So, you know, if there's something around us, it can talk through it.
Yeah.
So that means if I turn it on and I ask questions and nothing is said, that means that there's nothing around us, right?
Yeah.
So how about we just give it a good old college try? Can I retrieve the spirit box and turn it on and put it next to him?
Okay, the moment you turn it on, his eyes roll up into the top of his head and his mouth opens and he says,
I see an endless labyrinth of shadow, a domain of dread inhabited by the nightmares of creation. I see a lone woman, flesh clad in the hides of beasts, marked by pigments and flickering torchlight. She wields her flame in a desperate attempt to banish something unseen, yet it swarms relentless. Suddenly, I see a sinister silhouette emerge, and monstrous jaws clamping down, engulfing her head in a single grotesque embrace. I see a void scattered with asteroids, illuminated by the sinister glow of a distant orange sun. Moons bathed in eerie blue, surfaces scarred by cataclysmic storms. I see the ruination of worlds, the harbinger of doom. I see what lurks on the horizon. I see what draws ever closer.
And that's where we're going to end for tonight.
Oh, thank God you brought the spirit box.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, real quick, let's everyone roll sanity just to cap this episode off. And that'll give us an idea of what we're going to do at the beginning of next episode. Boy.
Success! 23 under 54.
I failed. 82.
So that's 1 and 1 for each of the successes. This is obviously against unnatural. And for the failure, you get to take 4.
Zero, buddy.
I had it coming.
Push it off on that bond.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Obviously you can take the opportunity to push off this sanity, but we'll resolve a little bit more of that next time on City of Woe. Thank you once again for tuning in to Chaos Springs Eternal Presents Season 1, City of Woe! It's good times. Thank you to everyone who's been rating and reviewing. Make sure that if you haven't yet, please go do it. I know everyone asks, but it is kind of what helps drive traffic and, you know, in how you pick podcasts, what iTunes recommends to you or Spotify recommends to you. It's just things people like. So if you like us, share us with your friends. And go check out our show notes. We've got a new website, qmtabletop.com, with all of our links and everything.
Shout out to Arc Dream Publishing for making Delta Green. It's a fantastic game. Still my favorite. Shout out to Pod Called Quest. They mentioned us the other day in their intro banter. Really appreciate that. We noticed a few more listeners because of that, so thank y'all. And of course, thank you to Ponzer Kings for Cositus, which is the song, and it just perfectly encapsulates the vibes that I wanted for this whole actual campaign. So let's give it a listen. The eyes of corpses have no glow. Made these chains just for myself.
Call it the Beatty Brunch.
Oh my god.
God.
After spoonerisms, I kind of run out of ideas.
That's fair.
All right, you guys figured it out. The Babinos are the bad people.
More like the Badinos.
I was going to reveal that they had changed their name to the Babinos. They came over and they used to be the Badinos. Oh, boy. All right, and podcast end.
They're not called the Goodinos.
They're not called the Goodinos. They're called the Badinos. No. Only your crystal tears to give. No God. Shockingly close, yes. Mark, drop the Angus in there, and shockingly close.
Holy shit! I've not seen that cover in 2 decades.
When you said bowl haircut, I was like, "This is Angus. This got to be Angus."
That is, I forgot that I knew that face, and that is the face that I was in my brain. So,
wow, yeah. Amazing!
Yeah, nailed it, got it in one.
Mark reached right in and pulled it up.
I did. When you said bowl haircut, I was like, there's only one famous bowl haircut I can think of.
Coconut head from SD Classified.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.